I don't know whether our two sisters or the choir has still a fitting song to Psalm 51. Create in me, O God, a new heart, a pure heart. It's of course a prayer which David has sent up to God from the depth of his fall. Man, firstly, he must recognize that he has fallen into sin and that he is without hope. And then praying for grace and mercy, asking for mercy, and by this experiencing his salvation. Who is it? The two sisters? Or is it the choir? Where is the choir leader? A song which would fit here. And then we will go into our word observation. Just briefly, I would like to greet and welcome all of you, and I wish all God's richest blessing. I actually wrote down the names which phoned. It were phone calls from half of the world. Perhaps I will mention them later on and find them. Let us now listen to a song. Let us listen to a song now.
Nimm mein Leben, lass es dein, treuer Gott auf ewig sein. Lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Lass das Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gott und Glück, Herr, dich halte nicht zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebens flüchtige Zeit, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Auch mein Wille, Herr, soll dein, ganz und gar dein eigen sein. Nimm mein Herz, o Gottes Sohn, weihe es zu deinem Thron. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Leib und und Leben, Herz und Sinn, leg ich dir zu Füßen hin. Nimm mich und ich werde dein, gänzlich und für immer sein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Singen wir es alle hier.
Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Bruder Schmidt wird noch mit uns beten.
Brother Schmidt will pray with us still.
Herr und Gott,
Lord and God,
wir sagen dir herzlich,
we say thanks unto you for thy shed blood, as we have sung now.
Wash
us in it.
We thank you
that you are making us holy and pure through your precious blood which you shed on the cross of Calvary. Thanks be to you for it. We ask you also now for your blessing. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Once again, be welcome in the precious name of our Lord. And I would like to ask who at this weekend is here for the first time in our midst. Please stand up. Who is here today for the first time in our midst at this weekend?
Zum ersten Mal in unsere Mitte.
Look, God bless you. God bless you richly. Our dear brother from Greece, in particular, be welcome. God bless you, beloved brother. God bless you. May He bless all of us. Amen. You may be seated. God's blessings.
Yes,
we are just so grateful for the possibility which we have to come together in such a way, undisturbed, coming into the presence of the Lord, to be gathered like this, to hear His original word. Not interpretations of men, but God's word as it was left unto us. Then we have yesterday, for the first time, in 10 languages, we were connected worldwide, we were broadcasting, so that the service could be heard worldwide, all over the earth, in the 10 main languages, and could witness it. And there came the following thought to me, and I hope to be understood in the right way. There are still countries which have no equipment yet to be connected over the internet. And yesterday, the thought came to me that we are hearing God's word at this place, together we will take care of that we equip all our brothers also in the countries of the third world, yes, that we equip them so that they all over can listen, that they can watch, and that they can have part in that what God is doing right now. Do you all agree? Yes. Then the matter is already solved. Then yesterday we were speaking about Israel briefly. Today we will not go into detail anymore. Of course, many were writing. We are all aware of that. The state of Israel, 60 years in all the Christian publications, it was written about Israel. Let me just mention the following. When we were in Tel Aviv, we have been asked, especially the tour leaders were asked, who we are, what we are, and so forth. And after I was asked, after I was questioned, Brother Joachim was also questioned, he's sitting here in the front, in the second row. And the main question was, do you believe in the God of Israel? Or in the God Jesus Christ? And his answer, we all know our beloved brother, his answer could not have been better. I believe in the God of Israel who revealed himself unto us in Jesus Christ. Yes, a testimony he left in Israel. And we mentioned it yesterday, the big problem is in the deception, in the falsification by the interpretations. From Genesis 1, let us make man. Then they were interpreting and interpreting and again interpreting. And the whole of mankind was misled and got mad about God and got mad about Christendom. And therefore, the true proclamation is the only answer from God. And yesterday, we have heard it from the quote of Brother Branham, a perfect word, perfect promises, perfect faith. Not by you, not by me, but worked by God, by the Holy Spirit. Then Brother Etienne is sending special greetings. Brother Joseph from Kinshasa, the brethren from Gabon, and who else was phoning? Brother Graf, Brother Wallström, all the brothers, they are sending greetings. Brothers from Johannesburg, brothers from Cape Town, all the brothers, they are sending greetings to us. And also we, today, from this place, we would like to greet all with all our heart. And I say it once again, I'm happy that God has given us the grace to come together undisturbed in his name, and also for this that we can be heard now worldwide, that we can broadcast this divine message worldwide in such a way that it is being fulfilled what is written in Matthew 24 verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then shall the end come. In the same way, in view to Israel, we have the task, without mingling into politics, we have the task to be watchful, to watch and observe how everything is going on. Today, the German foreign minister is in Lebanon. The French foreign minister is in the Iraq. And also in June, still in June, the first Middle East conference shall take place in Berlin. Everything shows us, points us toward that we are near to the end. Because Israel, the fig tree, show us the fig tree again, please. Israel, the fig tree, is blooming. Yesterday, we were showing unto you the fig tree, 3 years old, the first buds, which are also fruits. This is the mighty thing on a fig tree. No blooming. The bud is the fruit. No bloom, no blooming. So, God restored the fig tree. It was planted newly, and never again it will be rooted up. The Lord God has gathered Israel. He is watching over Israel as a shepherd watches over his flock. We are just so grateful that we can live in this time where Bible prophecy, be it written in the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, wherever it might be written, be it in the Old or in the New Testament, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Also this we mentioned, the delegation, the highest men from Jerusalem have been in the Vatican last Friday, and there with the 8 representatives of the Vatican, they were negotiating. It's only about what kind of premises will be in the possession of the Roman Church, and which will belong then to the Vatican. Whoever travels through Israel, he will find out how many things belong to the Roman Church and the Orthodox churches and to all the other churches. We don't need a land in Israel, no building. We need the proclamation as it went forth from Jerusalem, from Mount Zion, in the first sermon which Peter has held on the day of Pentecost. Then we have mentioned it briefly. I will not spend much time with it. But the displaying in Rottenburg that God is female, we showed it yesterday. Now, God shall be displayed as a female. And this is a program of the Roman Church. And then we go to Psalm 2, verse 7. Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. God is God. Blessed be his wonderful name. And we say together with Brother Jochem, the God of Israel, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, he has become our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He, the firstborn among many brethren. Brothers and sisters, we have been begotten by the same Spirit as the Son of God was begotten. We are full sons and daughters of God, born again unto a living hope. And we are just waiting for the changing of our bodies. And then we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3. For we shall see him as he is. So that the measure of sin might be full and the deception might be full, we have it here, in the Idea Spectrum, in the magazine, this article, the Protestants shall now make crosses, also there, making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For every Bible reader, it's of course clear that such a formula was never was used in the Bible. And we will write it again, in writing we will put it, that the original formulation, as written in Matthew 28, it was said, go into all the world and teach all nations and baptize them into my name. You can read all the church history, and especially the New Testament in Greek from Nestle, as written there in the footnote, as the words were in the original. But in that time, where the Greeks, where the Hellenistic religion was coming in with all their idols and gods and goddesses coming into Christianity, then came up the doctrine of a Trinity. One has to imagine this blasphemy, that God is three, that God in three exists from eternity. Although the Bible says it 6,700 times, it confesses, it testifies that God is one, and that besides him there is no other. And time and again, we read in the Holy Scripture that God said, I swear by myself. He didn't have one at the right hand or left hand by whom he could swear. He swore by himself. We believe what the God of Israel has said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. In all of the Old Testament, he revealed himself. And where the enemy misled the people, that started with the interpretation with Genesis 1, verse 1. There's the word written Elohim. And all together 31 times in the first chapter. And the word Elohim has really both meanings, singular and plural. Singular concerning the person and plural concerning all the tasks which God had to carry out. The one God is of course all in all. He is creator, judge, redeemer, king. He is all in all. So, the word Elohim is of course wonderful. Singular and plural. Singular referring to God, plural referring to all what God is and how he manifested, revealed himself. Firstly as creator, then as sustainer, as savior, as king, as judge. But mankind have to make the measure of sin full. And we are just so grateful to God that he has sent Brother Branham. And in the newest edition of the magazine ACP, a Christian publication, I put there an advert. I was allowed to put an advert, namely, with a photograph of Brother Branham and with a meeting of the year 1948, when more than 20,000 people were already gathered in Seattle, Washington, to hear this man of God. And the text is as following. Back to the early church. This is the headline. And then comes the text. When the world didn't hear anything of Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Tommy Osborne, and other evangelists, thousands of people experienced by the ministry of William Branham, 1909 to 1965, experienced their conversion and their healing. In the second passage it says, he proclaimed without compromise the pure biblical basic doctrines about Godhead, baptism, Lord's Supper, and so forth, as the apostles did it at the beginning, as it is left unto us in the Bible. God confirmed his commission by extraordinary signs and wonders, and he gave the breakthrough to the greatest healing revival of all times. Next passage. It was the beginning of a spiritual renewing which now so near before the return of Jesus Christ in practice and doctrine leads us back to the early church, and which is shortly before its completion. And then, just the line here, if you would like to know more, please turn unto us. And this magazine goes into the hands of the counselor, the chancellor, goes into the hands of 10,000 people of the higher ranking class in our country. We just didn't want to put the light under the bushel, but we wanted to put it upon the lampstand. This country shall know that God, in this prophetic age, that he has sent a true prophet who led us back to the true word. And for this, we are very, very grateful to God. Then we have, last Monday, the 19th of May, here in our newspaper in Krefeld, we had a very strange article in the newspaper. Here it's written, I'm reading. It doesn't fit here to this subject of today, but it just fits to Genesis chapter 3. It just fits to Genesis 3. South Africa. Three babies have the same father. West German newspaper, Monday, the 19th of May, 2008. South Africa. Three babies have two fathers. Johannesburg. A South African court decided that the three babies of that they have two different fathers. According to a newspaper article, this father has to pay only for one of the babies. To the taxi driver from Cape Town, already at the birth, he saw that one baby looked different. The cause was a strange variant of the it happens only when a woman within 24 hours has sex with two different men. Yes. And we all know what happened in the Garden of Eden. There, Brother Branham really said, at noon happened that, and in the afternoon happened that. And then two brothers were born.
Und so haben wir eigentlich heute nur noch die Bestätigung, die sogar
and then she continued and gave birth. And then we have the confirmation, as written in the newspaper. Now just briefly, and then we come into our word observation. One question. How many believe that we all were born in the original sin? As David said it in Psalm 51, he said it. Namely in the verse which is written before. Psalm 51. Here it's written. In verse 7. Psalm 1, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And then comes the cry of the soul. Then comes the prayer, which goes up to the throne of God. Wash me, that I become whiter than the snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and so forth. We all were born in sin, separated from God, without hope in this world. And therefore, we have to be born again. Because what is born of the flesh, this is flesh. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And that what is born of the Spirit, this is Spirit. And therefore, our Lord says, don't marvel that I've told you that you must be born again. So, we have understood it. By the fall, we all were pulled and born into the sin. And therefore God had to make a new beginning by begetting by the Spirit to bring us back into our original position as sons and daughters of God, to restore us. This actually belongs to the proclamation of the gospel. Then we have something very tremendous from Brother Branham. I just read it now. Concerning the founding of the state of Israel. And that what Brother Branham experienced in this connection from the 6th of May 1946, the transition to the 7th of May, already 1946, the United Nations in Los Angeles, they decided that two states, one Israeli state and one Palestinian state, should exist. And Brother Branham, he says here, very briefly, he says, what happened on the 6th of May 1946, when the flag of Israel for the first time again was hissed over Jerusalem. And then you know, from the 7th of May 1946, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto me, and as he commanded me, and as he sent me to bring this revival. And then he says, a revival which God ordained. And then he comes back again to the subject of Jerusalem. 6th and 7th of May 1946. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, we are living in Bible days, and we have got divine orientation and teaching from the Word. And I believe, especially brothers, who of course know about church history, they know of course who and what was written, and even about the Third Reich, about the Holocaust. More than 40,000 books have been written. And if I say here humbly, the curtain
hat niemand gezogen,
nobody pulled to look at it biblically,
zu belegen, wer die Verantwortung trägt,
who has the responsibility
und
for it,
mit wem Gott abrechnen
and whom God will judge. Brothers and sisters, one can be very intelligent.
Man kann das wissen,
one can have the knowledge, church history knowledge, general knowledge, one can have. It doesn't help. Without the Word of God, without revelation by the Holy Spirit, we cannot place anything properly. Just the opposite. Just the contrary. We are bypassing, as all the others did it before us already. Let us thank God today consciously that there was a 7th of May 1946, and at evening time of this 7th of May, when Brother Branham was in Greensmill in prayer, and as he had the Bible on his bosom, and as he was reading, and suddenly the supernatural light came into his room, and the angel of the Lord stepped down in this light. And Brother Branham sprang up. He was shaking, trembling. And the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not. I am sent from the presence of God to give you your commission." And then in detail, he explained to him how the ministry would be in the first, second, and third phase. And brothers and sisters, it must be said time and again, although the people are laughing at us, time and again, it must be said anew. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We didn't run after a man who suddenly saw himself to be something special. No, by revelation of what is written in the Old and New Testament, "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Who wants to deny it? Who wants to blot it out of the Bible? And if somebody wanted to say, "This is written in the Old Testament," it's also written in the New Testament. Matthew 17, verse 11. "Verily, Elijah comes first and restores all things." In the same way, in Mark 9, verse 12, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But here is the point. Only the elect of God, who are ordained for eternal life, who are ordained to have part in the first resurrection, participating in the rapture, participating at the marriage supper, only they are the ones who can believe as the scripture says. And then we are at that what we looked at last night from the quotation of Brother Branham. The perfect word. contains the perfect promises. And whoever believes them, he comes to the perfect faith, namely the faith which comes from the Scripture and which leads back into the Scripture
and
which reveals unto us God and His plan. Also about this, many things could be said. I have three verses which I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter
8,
to show us our word observation from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We read verse 30 to 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. As he spoke those words, many believed in him. Then said Jesus to those, if ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Inasmuch as the divine truth of the word was revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit, then will be taken out from all interpretations, pulled out, directly pulled out from it. Then all the interpretations are losing their rank, and we are humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Brothers and sisters, just look here now. We are all coming from various churches, from various countries, with various doctrines, with various pasts in our personal lives, and also in our spiritual lives. Whom shall God agree with? Don't we have to agree? Don't we have to all humbly bow before him? Don't we have to receive the same divine teaching so that it might be fulfilled? They all shall be taught by God. And this teaching is in no church, in no organization, but the Lord God teaches his people. And we all know, before our Lord, before he commissioned his disciples, the apostles, to go into all the world and to preach and to teach, he taught them 40 days before somebody can teach others. He himself must be taught by God himself. And this happens only by revelation. And so, God has sent his prophets and servants. Now just be honest. What would it profit unto us today if we would know what God did in all of the Old Testament and then of the beginning of the New Testament? What would it profit? And as he brought promises to fulfillment, if we would not know today, and I say today, if we would know today what God promised for us, what is today in the plan of salvation of our God, what is ordained for this time by God, what kind of promises, what kind of message, in this decisive moment of the history of mankind, what has God promised in his plan? What is he doing now? In conclusion, what is he doing now in the church before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord? And this is the grace which we sang about in this song in seven stanzas. And then we think on the word of Exodus 33. Lord, if I have found grace in your sight, then let me know thy ways. From his fullness, John 1, from his fullness we received grace for grace. Grace to recognize that we know nothing. Grace to recognize that all the human interpretations have led into error. Grace to recognize that this is the hour of truth. And with this, a great responsibility has come upon us. We didn't rent it. We didn't ordain it for us. For this, God has put us into it. At the end of time of grace, to let the glory shine in the image of Christ. So that once again the biblical truths are preached in such a way as they were preached at the beginning. Sir, if ye abide in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. May God write this verse into our hearts. How important it is to abide in the Word. To abide in the Word. Because this is the statement of our Lord. If ye abide in my Word. Did you now pray? Beloved Lord, give it to me so that I abide in your Word. And then we read verse 43. Here is a conversation with the scribes. Time and again, there were strifes, quarrels with all those who opposed our Lord. Instead of being silent, long enough they had time to speak. Now the moment was come where all the scribes, where all the Pharisees and Sadducees should have been silent. Hundreds, centuries they had to speak and to speak and to mislead the people. And now they continued to do it. And then the Lord says in verse 43 in John 8, why do ye not understand my speech? Yes. The same question can be asked, questioned today to all the preachers, to all the pastors. Can be asked. I'm not asking this question. The Lord is asking it. How is it that you don't understand my speech? And then comes, of course, the answer. Because ye cannot even listen to my word. Not even able to listen. This is the big problem. Also in our time. What kind of preacher even wants to listen? All of them, they probably know it better. They don't need any teaching. They don't have to listen. It repeats. Everything repeats in our time. And then verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. We see and we recognize that the faith is a gift. A gift of God. And we recognize that the faith comes from the preaching of the word. And it connects us with God. And the faith leads into the revelation of the Word. We read also verse 46 and 47.
Weil ich dagegen die Wahrheit rede,
if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?
Wer von euch,
who of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Then we have verse 47 addressed to us. Who are hearing the living word, the true word, who we believe it. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. This is the one group. And then the second group. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And then the big trouble started. Time and again, new quarrels with the scribes and Pharisees who lived about their imagination to be in the ministry of God. And everything was just a form, a tradition it has become. And God is in no dead tradition. God is in no tradition. God is a living God. And he reveals unto us, as our Lord revealed himself after his resurrection, time and again he revealed himself. Brothers and sisters, in view to that, what we read last night, just a few more thoughts from the Word of God. We, of course, read from Isaiah 28. We read the verses 15, 16, and 17. Then we didn't read verse 21. And this I want to do now. Amen. Isaiah 28, verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act.
Eine ungewöhnliche Arbeit. Kapitel 29,
chapter 29,
verse
6. Isaiah 29, verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and a flame of devouring fire. To this we go to Exodus. Exodus. Chapter 9. Here it is described to us what happened when God led out the people of Israel out of bondage, when he delivered them. It's listed under the seventh plague, which happened at the time of Moses. And the Lord God said, let my people go, that it may serve me. Exodus 9, verse 13. And then we read in verse 17 and 18, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, and thou wilt not let them go, Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. The seventh plague was the plague of hail, as we read it yesterday in Isaiah 28, that the hail shall destroy the refuge of lies. Once again, reading it in verse 22 and verse 23. I read verse 23 in Exodus 9. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And now comes the miracle of protection of the people of Israel when they were gathered in Goshen. Verse 26. Exodus 9, verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to our God. God decides over the clouds. God decides over all the nature. He rules what he has to do. Now we go to Joshua, chapter 10. Joshua, chapter 10. Here we read from the second part of verse 11. Joshua 10, verse 11, second part. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Both times, at the Exodus under Moses and at the going in under Joshua, the judgment of God took place, and the hail did the things. And now we come to verse 12 and verse 13. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. There was a day where all the five kings of the Amorites, when they were delivered up, and where the Lord gave the victory to his people by his grace. And this was the day in which Joshua spake, verse 12. Second part. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ayalon. And whoever reads on, in verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Brothers and sisters, we could read up everything. The whole day was past. The sun was about to go down, and the moon already rose, and the victory was not yet here. As now, Joshua was in trouble. Without victory, one cannot return from battle. And behold, he looked up to God, He spoke out the words, Sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ayalon. And the Lord listened, he did it, and as written in verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua was in the possession of the promise, in possession of the Ark of the Covenant. The divine contract, the covenant, was of course made. And the word was in the Ark. The perfect word, revealed word for this time. And Joshua, based upon the perfect word, which came forth from the mouth of God, he acted upon the perfect faith. Brothers and sisters, what is today in us? What is with us? We have heard the word of the covenant, the true, pure word of God, which remains forever. And this word has worked perfect faith, perfect trust. It worked in us to God. Of course, not the faith, not the belief in your or my knowledge or effort, but the faith that God is with us and that he confirms his word. And this should not be difficult for us. Now quickly, the places from the book of Revelation to show us that it falls into the time span when the two witnesses will have their ministry. I'm just so grateful for the word, and also thankful for the placing of the end time events as they are left unto us in the word of prophecy, in the Old and in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. We have Revelation 8 before us. Revelation 8, verse 1. A silence in heaven at the opening of the seventh seal, about a half an hour. And then comes the content of that, what is revealed in this seventh seal in verse 2, and then we come to verse 7. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then, the first trumpet, it happens already. Revelation 8, verse 7. And the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. We can all read it. What then will happen? As it is testified in the Bible, and as I said last night, what happened last Friday, very early in the morning, at about 5 minutes to six, up to a few minutes after six, suddenly it got dark, and then the hail came down. We made some photographs here. Here you can see the hailstones, big as eggs, chicken eggs, so big. And really, our two roofs. It swept away our two roofs. It damaged, destroyed completely. And here we have again an overall view. What happened in about 7 minutes? What came down from heaven? About 7 minutes it lasted. We put some photographs in the display boxes at our exit area. It was really tremendous. My question is, why did we speak about it at this place, just now, and never again before, in all the years before? We never experienced it. Up to now, we always heard about it in the news. We've heard what happened in China with the earthquake. We heard what happened in Myanmar, that 78,000 people have been killed. We all heard about the natural catastrophes. More than 100 tornadoes swept over the United States. And they left nothing but destruction. And now we, at this place, I'm actually grateful. It's of course my time to get up. 5 to 6. I always have to get up. Yeah. And right at that moment, I just had to put on my morning coat. And I went onto the balcony and I was watching it. I watched what happened before my eyes. And I already remembered what will happen. And today we look into it, into that. What happened at the time of Moses, in the time of Joshua, and then what will happen in the time after the rapture, when the seven trumpet angels, and of course also the angel of the seventh bowl, when the judgment will be poured out upon this earth. Let us read verse 7 in Revelation 8 once again. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. In Revelation 10, we have the ministry of the two witnesses from verse 1 described to us. And in verse 15, we read in Revelation chapter 11, namely after verse 12, where the two prophets, after finishing their ministry, when they will be taken up into a cloud, into heaven. And then comes verse 15. Now, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And now, to make it short, you can all read it, what is written in verse 16 and 17. Let us read verse 17. Here is the thanksgiving prayer, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and wast and are, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." And then we are told that the nations were angry. And just imagine, in verse 19 it's written, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant. And the ark of his covenant. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. We see that what happened in the time of Moses, in the time of Joshua, what happened already before with Israel, or what happened for Israel, this will again happen when the moment has come for it. Now just the one word so that all know where it belongs. Revelation chapter 16 verse 17 to 21. I just read verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." Here the same word is written, as written in the Gospel of John, "It is finished. It is finished. It is done. It is finished." Verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. We could read on. But we owe it to God and to you to read two places from the New Testament. Because as we said last night, regardless of that, about which subject we are speaking, all subjects are biblical. All subjects are biblical. But not all subjects have the calling out and the preparation and the completion of the church as the kernel. Altogether, all the happenings of the end time is illuminated. And so we have it, of course, in the word of prophecy described. But what was promised to the church? 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 2. Here Paul has only one thing before his eyes. No day of the Lord, no judgments, but the bride of the Lamb, which he wanted to present, which he espoused to Christ, and which he wanted to present to Christ as a pure virgin. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. Very well known to all of us. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, if we, sometimes in the front, if we get loud sometimes a bit, then because of the divine godly jealousy, because we want that all who have been called out by God, who were led out, that they not again fall into an error, into an interpretation. And we are jealous in this matter, not in our own jealousy, but, as written here, with godly jealousy, jealous over you, with godly jealousy. Can you understand this? With this responsibility, which is connected with the proclamation of the final and last message, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, the Lord God says, I will betroth thee to me in justice, in loving kindness. Here the loving relationship, the love relationship is shown between bride and bridegroom. And in Matthew 25, it's of course written, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And Paul writes, I have espoused you to Christ as a chaste virgin. And I want that you are presented to him without being again beguiled by the serpent, as Eve was beguiled through his subtlety. And so that your minds, with three, second part, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Please watch over your souls, and we will ask God that he watches over all of us for his holy word's sake, which we heard and which we believed. And then it is told to us in verse 4, For if he that cometh along, preaching unto you another Jesus, whom we have not preached, brothers and sisters, I say this with pain, and some already found out that I lost weight, but I tell you, also the condition within the believers, among the believers, who refer to message and messenger, it really cries to heaven. It really went out. It's all are interpreting. All are interpreting as they like. And all are walking their own ways. And all despise the word of God. And they claim that only the prophet knew the word, and that only he got it revealed. And by this, that we have the result of the word in the sermons of Brother Branham. It sounds good, yes. But for our understanding of the scripture, which the Lord has given to us, happened the following. God has sent his prophet. But the connection was as then with Paul. The connection was not to Paul. Paul didn't say, I have the commission, I have espoused you to me. No. I have led you to Christ. I espoused you to Christ. You are not mine. You are his possession. And the same applies also to the message and messenger. God didn't connect us with William Branham. God connected us with himself by the word and spirit, by his grace. William Branham was, of course, a man like we, a man like you and I. The word which God revealed to him became precious unto us. And as we said many times, every sermon which he has held came from the word and has led us back into the Word. Say amen to it. Every sermon led us to God and to the Word of God. Now just from Ephesians, the well-known word in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. A high call, the highest divine call was addressed to us to one day to be like our Lord, our Redeemer, one day. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Do we want to agree with this prayerfully with an amen? That in lowliness, in meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, as God received us in Christ, so we want to receive one another. And then it is about the unity in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Des Friedens zu erhalten. Der Feind stiftet Feindschaft.
The enemy makes enmity. He brings unrest. He splits. And as Paul has written, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy.
So steht hier.
That's how it's written here.
Dass wir eifrig
that we should be and that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then comes the summary in verse 4 and 5. One body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Einerlei Hoffnung berufen worden seid. Ein Herr,
one Lord,
ein Glaube,
one faith,
eine Taufe,
one baptism,
ein Gott,
one God and Father of all,
der da ist über
who is above all and through all and in you all,
auch heute,
also today
in, unserer Mitte,
in our midst.
Dieses Wort,
this word
nehmen wir
we
ganz
receive very personally. I believe I've heard now the amen from Brother Holviti from Finland. Yes, we are really from all of the continent. We are gathered
here
and then also connected with all who are now online. May all who belong to the body of the Lord, may all who are part of the bride, may all hearken to the voice of the bridegroom. And as in the earth, in the natural, the bridegroom finds a bride, and as he trusts in her, and as she trusts in him, and as both are just waiting that the engagement will find an end, and when the marriage can take place, so we read that in Revelation 19, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready, and to her was granted to be clothed in white linen. Should today, brothers and sisters, be in our midst who have not yet consecrated to God, and who also are ready to make the second step, namely the baptism, to be baptized, to as written, as I said in the first sermon, and this sermon is valid unto the last sermon, repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is in addition and confirms the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness is by the blood of the Lamb in the Old and New Testament. Forgiveness always comes through the blood, be it at the time of Moses, and it is written, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many. The forgiveness, the reconciliation, grace, and salvation is in the blood, by the blood of the Lamb, in which was the divine life. It was given to us by His grace. Baptism is a step of faith and obedience which proves that we have become a believer. According to the scripture, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believes not shall be damned, condemned. All who came to the faith, all who believed in the early church, all who became believers, all who received the forgiveness of their sins, and all who confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they were baptized. The same applies for today. It's valid today in our midst and all over. All who received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by faith should make the step of baptism, because by this to the faith, the obedience is added. And then faith and obedience belong together, as before unbelief and disobedience also belonged together. It's simple. It's simply the proof that people have been crucified with Christ, that they died with Him, that they don't live for themselves any longer, not deciding for themselves, but having consecrated their lives to God, who decided for them that they become believers and that they are baptized. So, may the Lord God bless His word, which we at this weekend heard, which we looked at, be it concerning Israel and all the other fulfillments of Bible prophecy, be it concerning the church, concerning the faith, obedience, teaching, everything. We receive everything as God revealed it to us by His grace. Please understand it. I'm jealous, and we as brothers, ask all the brothers here who are ministering with the word, we are jealous over you with godly jealousy, and we want that we together will see the glory of God. And I believe it. I believe that God has called us out, that He led us out in conformity with His word and with His will, continuing to bring us into conformity, that right at the end, bride and bridegroom will be one heart. As a German song goes, Brother Frank is reciting a German song. Today we say to God, thanks, a thanksgiving for his speaking, for his working, for his moving. I have now one question. Did God open unto us the understanding for the scripture, for the word of prophecy? For, say amen. Then let us stand up. Let us sing together, just as I am.
And
then we'll pray for all who want to be baptized. May we ask that all who want to be baptized, that they come to the front now. Just come to the front. And we are singing this chorus once again.
Amen.
We are very grateful to God that you are listening now, although you speak another language, you are hearing God's word in your language. That's how it was on the day of Pentecost, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All heard in their own language the proclamation and the great deeds of our God. For you, who you have come from Greece, previously from Russia, for you we are grateful in a special way, in particular grateful. God also took care of that the iron curtain is no more here. Although it had to happen politically, yet we may make use of the time, also the open borders and the open doors, we can use them to preach the word. And when I remember that we have broadcasts in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, in the USA, and also in Kazakhstan, Almaty, and that there are people who time and again are writing letters because they are hearing the sermon they were spoken to. And today you are here. Yes, we are happy for you. Yes, we are happy with all our hearts. We rejoice together with you. Yes. May the Lord bless all who have come to the front, 2, 4, 6, 10, who will be baptized. Today, the wish was expressed that after the baptism, we again will pray for all who wish it. And this we are doing after the baptism. Yes. Then you are coming into the office And then we will pray for all who after the baptism are longing for that the hands are laid upon them and that it is being prayed for them. These are then people who have read Acts chapter 8. Yes, yes. And then came the faith from the sermon which we find there. And at this place we are ready to do everything what is testified in the book of Acts, and God gives his blessing to it. Also, after you were baptized and after you have eaten, we can come together here, praying here. Maybe there are some others who want to partake in this prayer. Now we ask Brother Schmidt that he comes. Brother Schmidt is of course the man whom God blessed. By the way, Brother Russ, the family Rus, is sending greetings to all of you. Brother Schmidt and myself, we visited him. We found Brother Rus in good health, but he has still problems with walking. We didn't give up hope. We didn't give up faith. We hold fast to the faith, because with God all things are possible. You consecrated your life to the Lord, precious sister. Do you speak German? Next to you, yes? You speak German? French? In any case, you consecrated your life to the Lord. Sister, you also. What kind of language do you speak? Pardon? French? Romanian? Yes. Where's the translator? Come a bit closer. It's very important. Thank you very much. It's just very necessary that all who are being baptized, that they understand precisely what is being said. They understand it precisely what's all about. Today, you are making a covenant with God. You are confirming on your side to have made a good conscience with God. As written in Peter, today you are confirming by baptism that you received Christ our Redeemer and Savior, that you died with him, and that you will not live for your own anymore, but that the will of God happens through your life. And that you can say, as Paul has said in Galatians 2, verse 19, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Today, go today in the perfect faith for baptism, having died with Christ, being reconciled with God, becoming a possession of God, and then making the covenant of a good conscience. Don't you worry about the future. God knows the future. He has taken the responsibility for you. Believe him, trust him, and he will bring it to pass. Now, Brother Schmidt will say a few words. And then with the believers, he will pray. And then we will again pray together. What should be said here still? Everything was said already. The only thing what you are of need is to believe. Not only as the world says it, you believe in God, but as the Lord says, Believe in me. It means believe God and His Word. And then everything will come to pass. Now, I, on my hand, I'm also happy about it, that God has given grace, that He opened the former iron curtain. More would be here today, but it's not always possible that all come. Many things are happening. It goes all around the world. May God bless all who are watching and listening. May God grant it by His grace. May He give power and strength to be ready at this glorious day when He returns. May the Lord bless us all from the riches of His grace. So let us now bow our heads. Let us pray to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the grace and faithfulness. We thank You, O Lord, that Your reward is great. We thank You that Your dying, Your death, the resurrection, worked, was not in vain, but it was experienced by these people here. Give grace, O Lord. All, as was said, all who want to testify here, to make a good covenant, a covenant of a good conscience with You, walking with You, give it to them. But also to us, give the grace that we are always reminded that also we testified of it. Let us be a unity in You. Make us one, Lord. Put us together. I thank You with all Your love. Please, Lord Jesus, bless each one who is going to be baptized, and in particular those who are coming from afar, who cannot be here. Please, Lord, look after them by Your Word and by Your Spirit. Lord, I thank You for it. Amen. Let us sing the chorus, O God's love. Now we will thank together. And as written in Romans 16 and as written in Acts 4, they raised their voices in one accord and they were giving thanks to God. As we sing together, so we can also thank together. Everything has its place. The single prayer, the common prayer, the silence has its place. Then it can also get loud. Sometimes we are not always in a cemetery mood. Sometimes we are also in a resurrection mood. He is not here. He is risen. He is alive. The tomb is empty. And we may live with Him. If we don't say thanks to God, who shall then do it? If we, who we testify to have received the revelation of the Word, the revelation of Jesus Christ by His grace, Search today. Seek today for a church who agrees with Revelation 19, where it says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Seek for it. Look for it. Brothers and sisters, perhaps we will only be aware of it in eternity. What kind of privilege God has given to us to God his word freshly revealed from his throne. Thanks be to God. We lift up our voices now. It doesn't have to be so loud, but nevertheless, we can do it together. Beloved Lord, you ever faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts. The end time is here. Thy coming is near. The Ark of the Covenant is open. Thy word is revealed. We thank you with all our hearts. Have thine own way with your people and bless in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Have thine own way with all of us. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks also for this weekend. And all the people say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Before we sing the final chorus, we would like to give to you all greetings, beginning from Finland, Sweden, up down to Palermo, up down to Greece, Romania, wherever it might be, France, whole of Africa, Switzerland, Austria, Russia, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, really, all who love the Lord, they love His word. They don't stumble. They are just hearkening, listening. They don't oppose, but they listen. And in that moment where we are listening, the Lord can speak with us and can reveal it to us. Are you happy that we can still come together in such a way? The Lord God, bless us and be with us. Hallelujah. Be praised.
Hallelujah.
Let us sing.
Amen.
Amen.
Er hat's getan.
He did it. Shake hands with one another and wish God's blessing.